Anybody take the over last night? In that Green Bay Detroit Monday Night Football game? My goodness. You know what, Colfax? Forget everything I've said over the last 6 months. Not everything, because some of that stuff is, you know, you really need it for life. But can we say, forget everything I said about Aaron Rodgers? He's freaking good. I'm watching this game last night, and it's easy to forget sometimes when a great quarterback has a bad. Is it easy to forget Tom Brady, how great he is? You see a lousy game or two, and you're like, hey, he's washed up, and he's not quite like Patrick Mahomes, Lamar Jackson. He's nothing like those guys. He's not electric, and then you just see him steadily do this thing. Rodgers was 22 of 27. 22 of 27. 255 yards. Not like he threw the ball all over the yard last night. First half was slow. Second half exploded in the third, and then they slowed down in the fourth. You can't just look at the box score. But four touchdowns. Quarterback rating of 76, the QBR, but the rating was 145. Again, don't ask me how they come up with those. You just know that 145 is a good rating. Just know that. They were desperately trying to get the run game going. Wasn't sticking, but the pass game was sure working. And there, what was the pass? Was it Robert Tonyan? Yeah, he threw that touchdown pass to Tonyan. Double covered. Did you see that pass? It's a little five and slant kind of route, or a little, I don't know what it was. But he had a guy in front of him, a linebacker in front of him, a safety bracketing him over the top. And Roger, there's only one place that ball can go for it to be a touchdown. There's literally one place for it to go. There's no miraculous fingertip catch. None of that stuff is going to make this work. And it was perfect. Was it late in the second or early third? I don't remember anymore. I'm getting old, Colfax, but I just know it happened. I never remember when things happened. I just know they happened. It's like third and 12. Rodgers just got sacked, steps up into the pocket, and he finds Davante Adams for like a dart downfield, man. Like a 50-yard pass, 30-yard pass, whatever. Just perfect. I mean, I know you guys, we're all talking about Teddy Bridgewater and all these great, Lamar Jackson even. I'm definitely drinking that Kool-Aid. Love watching Lamar Jackson. He's so much fun. But you know when Aaron Rodgers is playing football and they're down, like when they were down 7-0, I'm thinking, okay, this is going to get fun because Rodgers is just going to go at it. They score. Detroit goes and scores again. And then they got the field goal, and you're thinking, okay, good. I want the Packers to be down because I want to see Rodgers air it out. I got to tell you, man, I can get reminded quickly of just why that guy's one of the greatest. When Rodgers plays like that, and again, 255 yards isn't, we're not breaking records last night, but I'm quickly reminded of just how precise he can be. And that edge that's annoying about him when he's doing Jeopardy and he's having a holdout and he's not showing up, that edge that's annoying is just so attractive as a football fan when he's playing the game. I'm not arguing. Brady, they beat Detroit. Come on. He's the league MVP. He looked like it last night. They had a crap game last week. I saw that Dave Portnoy of Barstool Sports text Aaron. They're buddies. He texted Aaron and said, hey, Big Cat wants to know if you're working from the inside trying to, you know, cave Green Bay in and just lose on purpose. I personally don't think you don't care. You got to admire those guys for that. Rodgers texts him back and he goes, just tell Big Cat I love him. And you admire Rodgers for that, too. He's not giving him much, but at the same time, he's like, I'm not answering that. You know I'm not answering that. And then what does he do? He just goes and throws four touchdowns. I listen to it. It's just perfection.
Rodgers wants to throw for it again, and he's got it. Aaron Jones, touchdown, Packers. Rodgers zips one in there for Tonyan. Touchdown, Packers. A 22-yard strike. Rodgers with Jones floating out of the backfield and dancing into the end zone. Third touchdown.
I know it's against Detroit, but I think Detroit's going to be an improved team. If you're Aaron Rodgers, you know, again, last week sucked. Who knows what that was? I think it was a blip. I think it's one of those things that's like, that's not real life. We'll recalibrate. In the NFL, blowouts, like in college football, Colfax, blowouts in college football are like, oh, that's who we are. That's probably kind of. High school football, that's who we are. If I lose by 35, I'm that kind of team. I lose by 35. In college, you lose by 35, you might be better than that, but you're still not a winner against that team. You might be really 20 points better. In football, you can lose by 35, you can lose by 28, you can lose by 20. And the very next game against that team, you could win by 20. That, a lot of times in the NFL, can happen. So I was not freaking out about Green Bay. I wasn't one of those guys that was like, oh, Aaron Rodgers doesn't care. Now we're going to see it. No, he's good. I was, however, one of those guys in the offseason that was like, I'm kind of fed up with the whole Aaron Rodgers thing. Kind of done with the whole, you know, and then did his little press conference and complaining about Green Bay so much. And can you see why now they were like, he's like, okay, I'll come back, but you got to let me air out my grievances in a press conference. Last night's performance, you can see why they're like, yeah, tear us apart, man. Just don't leave. I'll plug my ears. I won't watch. I'll just ignore all of it. You just go out there and play. My only question, though, is I know the defense is suspect right now, but they did buckle down in the second half. Detroit didn't score a second half point after scoring 17. Still took the over. Still got it. Happy about that. Green Bay handled that for me. So, I mean, my question is, why would you want to leave? If it's that dysfunctional, they were in the NFC Championship game last week. They just, I think the second half is probably, the second half of football last night is what you're going to see from Green Bay on a regular basis. 21-0. Detroit's battling in this game, and then suddenly Green Bay makes them look, and I know it was raining, and Jared Goff fumbled, I think he fumbled it twice, I believe, and those were both killers. So, but that's the defense putting pressure. Rodgers didn't have any trouble holding on to the football. His receivers didn't have any trouble holding on to the football. So, I'm blown away by him. Sitting down watching that entire game last night, you're just like, all right, I remember. The Jeopardy thing, I don't care anymore. None of the drama. I mean, so yeah, if Aaron wants to come to Denver, we want to trade our entire city for him. No, I'm still not there as far as trading away all these draft picks, but he's still damn good. He's ridiculous. First Advantage text line. Get at us today if you have a thought on the game last night. 888-530-0043. 888-530-0043. Power to Play Sports poll question. If the Broncos go 3-0, is Vic Fangio off the hot seat? Now, Broncos country, cool the hell down. I'm not saying that he still couldn't be fired midway through or at the end of the season. But can we agree on this? He's on the hot seat right now. Right now, he's on the hot seat. 0-7 in September until these last two games, and they've missed the playoffs with him. They've had losing records with him both seasons. He's on the hot seat. He's on it. So if you're picturing it in your brain, if you go 3-0, can he stand up? Can he get out of the hot seat? Doesn't mean his butt's not real close to that seat. It just means he's off of it right there, where three losses in a row aren't going to mean his job. Because if he loses to the Jets, Baltimore, and Pittsburgh the next 3 weeks, could he be fired? This thing, as great as it seems right now, it's still against two bad teams. And if you somehow lose to the Jets at home, whoo, it's like you lost three right there. And then you're going to, you know, Baltimore's going to be tough. They just beat Kansas City. So if you lose that game, which chances are you could, and then I think it's Pittsburgh next, then, you know, you could make the case that Vic Fangio is probably going to get fired at the bye week. At Pittsburgh, then home against the Raiders, and at Cleveland. It ain't getting any easier. But if you beat the Jets and you go 3-0 and you undefeated in September as opposed to completely defeated in the last 2 weeks or 2 years, does that cool the seat where, okay, if you lose to the Ravens and you drop one on the road at the Steelers, it's all right. You're still 3-2. You got the Raiders and the Browns coming up. Split that. You know, again, then you start to piece things together and you take the microscope to the schedule. But if you lose to the Jets, he's like firmly planted in the hot seat. His butt is glued there. Just trying to set the picture in your brain of him in a hot seat. As you know, if you voted Or if you look at our social media pages, did you notice the picture that I used? Vic Fangio covered in snow. Because if he goes 3-0, the snow would essentially put out the fire. You see? I bet you a lot of hooligans didn't get that.
I missed that.
Did you? Well, yeah, it's a deep show.
I saw it, and all I could think was, it's a little cooler outside, and Brady's just so happy it's not summer anymore. That's all I could think.
That was one of the things that came through my mind. But I also was like, all right, I'm painting this picture. Dixon says, but you said you were over him and didn't want him. I'm admitting that I was wrong. You won't even let me do that, Dixon. It was just last week. You said it when Zach was on. I appreciate you remembering what I said. But I'm just telling you, I saw what I saw, and I'm reminded of how great he is. Now, would I still trade the farm away for Rodgers? I'm going to say no. But I do, you know, you do quickly remember why people were going so bat crap crazy, almost cussed, for Rodgers in the offseason. Because Teddy's fun and all. Like, it's awesome to see Teddy do this, and maybe he can keep doing it all season. But, I mean, you tell me, doesn't it look like Teddy's like, it's a lot of work? It's a lot of work for him. Rodgers is just like, he gets sacked, it's 3rd and 12, and he's like, whatever, I'll have a quick scotch. I don't know why he sounds like Bill Clinton. And then, snap, he's messing with him at the line of scrimmage. Stands there. Oh, there's Devontae Adams. Whatcha? I mean, it's just easy. Teddy's like, oh, God, I'm going over here. Oh, there's a progression. I got to go left. Oh, guy's open. 15 yards. All right, let's go. Let's keep going. With Rodgers, half the field is cut in one play. You cut the field in half, and it seems like Rodgers barely broke a sweat. Am I over him? I'm over the idea, I suppose, because it's unrealistic. Because I'm not willing to trade away, you know, a young prospect. And I'm not saying, like, a random player on the team. You got to be willing to trade Jerry Jeudy, Patrick Surtain, or somebody like that. And then a first round, and then another first round, and all that. And you're going to mortgage your future. And, you know, that's my biggest thing. So I'm basically just coming on here saying, you know what? I'm not over him as a player. I'm still kind of over the idea of him being here just because the cost is going to be ridiculous. Now, if he's a free agent, pay him what he wants. If he's a free agent, doesn't he have a year left on his contract? They restructured a deal, but it's this year and next year, but he could leave. They kind of have like a gentleman's agreement or something where we're not going to fight for you, whatever, we'll figure it out. The trade scares me, but a free agent? All right, yeah. I mean, give him the money, work it out. Hopefully you can re-sign Cortland Sutton. Hopefully you can maybe figure out what's happening with Von Miller. You got Melvin Gordon up as a free agent, which I don't see the Broncos re-signing him. Bradley Chubb's going to want a contract extension. Would you go that far? Yeah, there's a lot to discuss today. So, Power to Play Sports poll question. If the Broncos go 3-0, do you think Vic Fangio is off the hot seat for now? Doesn't mean you can't get back on it. I mean, you can win a Super Bowl and get fired. but we'll find out. Must win on Sunday again. These first three, they said they have to go 3-0. Eastside Chris, Brady, have a rabbit hole question. Ready to invest? Oh, that's a good question. You stole it. Eastside Chris is good at this. So, like, Elway and Manning are both wanting to, like, invest, but there's only, like, a certain, I don't know, grouping that they're in, and they're both wanting to be on basically the same spot. They want to be in the same category, and there's only one that can go. And this is what I'm reading, is it's Elway or Manning. And it might come down to who's going to be allowed into that inner circle. Who would you go with? Rabbit hole question from Eastside Chris. Go with Team Elway, Team Manning, or, okay, Team Chief Dixon, with all the winnings from KFKA. I'm sure he's a viable candidate. Chief Dixon would burn, he would buy it and waste millions, billions to buy it and then just burn it to the ground. So I must say that's a hard no. Team Manning or Team Elway, Colfax, who are you choosing? You only get to pick one of those two to invest in. I don't know how it works. I'm not a business tycoon, as you could probably guess. But for some reason, it's going to come down to if one of them invests, it's only going to be one of them. And I'll ask Zach more about that coming up.
That is so tough.
Yeah. Because Elway is Denver's greatest son, but Manning is like a national icon. And Elway is too, but Manning feels more like a national icon. Did more commercials. He's the broadcast last night. I mean, Elway didn't do that kind of stuff.
He's lovable.
He's lovable. Elway's businessman, though.
Yes.
So, Elway, investing in your team means he's probably going to bring a lot of business stuff. This isn't a personnel thing. Not yet. This position has nothing to do with personnel. This is all about investing and probably being a consultant of some kind on the business side of the franchise, to my understanding.
All right. Elway's got my vote.
You got Elway.
Yep.
Boy, and I'm going to say Elway as well. Yeah, I'm going to say Elway as well. I'm going to stay loyal to the loyal to the brand. Well, let's get some details. So Zach flipped it on us. He's going to be at 12:30. We'll bring him on. Zach Stevens of DMVR Broncos. I got to get details from him on that. Any Jets fans out there? Who am I kidding? There's no Jets fans. I'm just asking, though, like, what do you have going for you this weekend against the Broncos? What do you have? Zach Wilson's a dumpster fire right now. He's a rookie, but all right. I mean, what are you, if you're a Jets fan, how are you waking up going, yeah, but we got this over here. That's pretty cool. Well, Kenny Swami says, my heart says Elway. My brain says Manning. I see my brain even says Elway. My heart kind of wants to go halfsies. My brain says Elway because Elway's a businessman. He's a proven businessman. Is Manning, he did the Papa John's thing, but that was already an established brand before he jumped onto it. Elway has created stuff from nothing. And has become extremely successful. So I kind of both parts of my anatomy there go with Elway. That could go many places. Well, that's a good spot to take a break on. 22 minutes after the hour. I want to thank No Limit Collectibles. Buy, sell, trade. There's no limit to what you can collect. I love sports memorabilia and cards. You know, Popeye Jones basketball cards, for example. And I'm telling you, man, they have everything. And if they don't have it, Ken's going to find it for you. This guy is a wheeler and dealer. He'll get it done for you. That's No Limit Collectibles in Loveland. They got some exciting news coming up in October. I'm not spilling the beans yet, but some really cool news coming up. 22 minutes after the hour. It's the whole show powered by PDC Energy. By the way, it's Top Text Tuesday today. I got a signed Ed McCaffrey football on the line. We got another one, but we know him pretty well, so he's hooking us up. These are nice, man. These are going to be worth something when he's coaching for Alabama in about 5 years. We'll be right back.
The Good Afternoon Guy with Brian Gary is coming up at 3 on Northern Colorado's Voice. 103.1 and 1310 KFKA. Everything you need to know about Northern Colorado is on NoCo now. Weekdays at 9 on Northern Colorado's Voice. 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
This is Jenny Kavanagh from AT&T Sports Net, your host for the Colorado Rockies. You're listening to the whole show on KFKA. Fire up the fountain.
Maybe that's tomorrow's poll question. Maybe we'll fire that up today. We could fire that up today. Team Manning or Team Elway as far as ownership, portion of that ownership and control. It's harder than I thought thinking about it because I know I went with Elway. But, you know, if Manning is one of your guys, it seems like he might give you more national appeal. Like maybe you get the draft here. Maybe you get the Super Bowl here, even though it's cold. Like all those things, Manning, I think, everybody's watching him on Monday Night Football last night. Elway was never at that point. He was great for his football stuff, and then obviously what he did in Colorado. Manning has been great for his football stuff, for all of his shows that he does on ESPN, all of his commercials, Saturday Night Live skit. I know that's one chunk, but all those things kind of mesh together. So, it's an interesting concept. We could save that for tomorrow. Why don't we save that one for tomorrow? Because we got a lot to hit today. We will get Zach to kind of tell us why they couldn't go in together, why they can't get certain percentages. Are they seeking, what kind of ownership are they seeking? What majority of ownership are they seeking? Didn't think we'd have a Elway versus Peyton Manning thing like this on our hands, did we? I didn't think the whole Manning being general manager thing was really going to be something. I thought maybe he's going to be thinking bigger in terms of I want to own a team and be the Pat Bowlen of whatever team I choose to. There's no secret. Peyton Manning fell in love with Denver and Colorado. He fell in love with it. And here it is. You have this whole ownership situation up in the air. It's a fun debate. And I don't know. I mean, I'd have to. I got to think about this more because I said Elway, but there's also, and that's a hard one to say. You know, who are you going with? That's a tough one to say. But we're going to stick with this poll question today because we're moving forward. We're turning the page from the Broncos win over the Jags. We will talk a little more about that. The Broncos, we didn't get a chance to hit that as much as we wanted to yesterday. But if the Broncos start the season 3-0, will Vic Fangio be off the hot seat? That's the Power to Play Sports poll question of the day, available at thewholeshow.com. 66% of the Hooligans say yes, he will be off the hot seat. I think he will be for now, but he could lose the next four games and then be back on it. That's how that works. But he would definitely be in the clear to where I don't think losing to Baltimore and Pittsburgh suddenly we're going, Vic's not the guy. Got to get rid of him. I mean, I don't know that he's the guy anyway, but the proof is in the pudding. You win football games, you're the guy, whether we think you're not or not. I mean, that's the way this goes. 30 minutes after the hour, we're going to take a break. When we come back, we're going to talk to DNVR Broncos Zach Stevens about all things Broncos. We'll talk Broncos-Jags, Broncos-Jets, Broncos ownership situation, injuries, all that and more. But first, we need to get the latest on the local sports flash.
Prep Sports and the UNC Bears are on Northern Colorado's voice. 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
This is Miles Blumhardt, sports editor at the Fort Collins Coloradoan, and you're listening to The Whole Show on 1310 KFKA.
I'm really trying to save this poll question for tomorrow, guys, because I like the Vic Fangio stuff we're talking about today, but you're forcing my hand here. Zach Stevens, will maybe he can better put this whole thing into perspective for us. Zach Stevens of DNVR Broncos. Zach, before we get into 2-0, Teddy Bridgewater, Bradley Chubb, Courtland Sutton, all that fun stuff, my Hooligans are wanting a debate here, Peyton Manning or John Elway. Why is that? What happened over the weekend?
Oh, Brady, I mean, that's really the sexiest thing to talk about, because how great was it when the Broncos were able to bring back Peyton or John Elway into the organization back in 2011? How exciting was that? And then what he did after that, and it was just so cool for the organization to have a Hall of Fame quarterback run their team. And now the prospect of getting another Hall of Fame quarterback to be a part of the team for the next multiple decades is so exciting, and that's what's going on between John Elway and Peyton Manning. And Brady, unsurprisingly, they want a piece of the Denver Broncos, both of them do, and now neither of them can buy the team outright because it's only a couple billion dollars more than either of those guys have. But if an ownership group is formed, both of these guys want to be in on one and maybe be the figurehead to that. And so that's going to add a whole nother wrinkle to this ownership stuff. And when it comes to the Broncos being sold, they're not going to be put for sale until after the season. But come on, let's not be naive here. You know that there's talks going on about, okay, let's form some groups so we're ready. The Broncos, it's pretty clear by now that this is not going to stay in Brittany Bolin. It's not going to stay in the Bolin family. It's going to be sold. So now these talks are being talked about. And Brady, if you could be the figurehead of a group to own the Broncos, why would you not?
Yeah, no, exactly. It's an appealing thing. It's one of the, I mean, not just for Broncos fans, but one of the most appealing jobs or situations, I should say, throughout the country. So, Zach, is that are we then kind of thinking there's going to be possibly two separate groups? Manning's with one, Elway's with another. Could we see Manning and Elway join forces? Or the key word there that you said earlier, figurehead, would one of those guys be willing to step back a step and allow Elway and or Manning to be the figurehead of the group? Or do you see them kind of locking heads and going at it against each other?
Yeah, I could very well see them going at it against one another here, which would just be so fascinating.
Oh,
but Brady, I don't think it's going to boil down to just those two, because I think what the Broncos, what the NFL would want is one solid owner. And so that means instead of a group being formed and Peyton or John being the front runners and the figureheads in that group, I really see it being, you know, a Jeff Bezos or someone that just has the money that can come in, say, how much? Oh, you want $5-6 billion for this? Here's the cash. Let me liquidate a few things right now. And then that person is the owner. Now, people may say, okay, well, then that person should let Tatum have 5% of the team, you know, have him buy his way in so that he can be the figurehead while the Jeff Bezos really owns a majority of the team. But Brady, billionaires probably don't want to buy something that is $5 billion and then hand it over to someone else. So that's why if it is Tatum or John who ends up getting this role, it's going to be because not one person bought the team, but because there was a group that came together and made a very good offer, and they let that person take it over. I really don't see a situation in which Jeff Bezos buys the team and then just says, you know what, Peyton, I want you to run it for me.
No, that's interesting. And wouldn't that be the storyline, though? Like you said, it was so magical when Elway was named the VP, and then he upgrades and becomes president GM, and then Manning comes to play quarterback, and it's a dream come true. They go win a Super Bowl, and Manning goes out on top, and then suddenly, what if it comes down? They're going at it. That would be, I mean, can you write a better script? We can make a movie off of this, Zach.
No, you can't. You really can't. And the Broncos are great at really dominating headlines, although that's faltered just a little bit over the past couple of years because of their play. But holy cow, would this be the storyline? Two Hall of Fame quarterbacks, two Ring of Fame quarterbacks going at it for the ownership of the Broncos. It would just be probably at that point, it would just boil down to who surrounded themselves with the most money to buy the team.
Do you know how much John Elway's worth offhand?
A couple hundred million dollars. So he would be able to cut that threshold right around the 5% that you need to be the major, or not the majority, but to be that figurehead position, the controlling owner of the team. But certainly still very far away from being able to have any major stake of the team.
Just a measly couple of $100 million.
What about Manning? He's poor.
Yeah, he's out there. He's going to be with a tin cup out there begging for change. Help me buy the team. What is Peyton Manning worth? Any idea there?
I believe with his wife, they're more than John, but I think right around still under that $500 million range. So, you know, a couple hundred million dollars again, so that he would be able to get that 5% clip as well.
Wow. Now, so what do you think, like, with fans? I think that this would have Broncos country torn, and it's crazy to say that would happen, but Manning obviously was Peyton Manning well before he came to Denver, and then, of course, he did all those amazing things, broke all those records, did take Denver to two Super Bowls. I know the defense was great the year they won that Super Bowl, but Manning is just adopted as one of Denver's greatest sons already. Who do you think Broncos country would vote? Not that that matters, but if that was a vote, and we might do that tomorrow on the show, who do you think Broncos country would go with if you had to pick one guy that would be a part of an investment team?
Well, I think it would be Peyton. And as crazy as that is, but John's been there, done that. Now, he hasn't been there at the ownership level, but the Broncos have had a great 10 years with him. And people start to get a little frustrated with John the past couple of years, but there's the unknown of what Peyton could do. And people know how big John Elway is in Colorado, and John Elway is big around the country. But I don't think, maybe outside of Tom Brady, even right now, and maybe Patrick Mahomes, that there's still a bigger name in the NFL world in terms of the entire country than Peyton Manning. Look, he's not just doing local commercials, although he is still doing those. He's doing national commercials. He's doing the ESPN broadcast of the game last night, and everyone's tuning in to ESPN2 in order to watch Peyton Manning. I mean, who would ever thought ESPN2 would be the place to go? But it's because of Peyton. And so I think that intrigue of what Peyton could do, the influence he could have, I think even though John Elway is the OG son of the Broncos, I think it would be Peyton.
That's nuts, man. I mean, it's hard to disagree. It's just a wild concept that somebody could come in and eventually be. But hey, again, there is a couple of valid points, too. I mean, Elway, maybe it is the whole he's been there, done that. He's older. You know, the whole one of the reasons he stepped up / stepped down, but up again, I'm not sure, elevated his position was that he's a, you know, grandfather. And Manning's certainly has a lot of energy, not football energy, but energy, you know, in the business world, in the Monday Night Football world, all that. So certainly a case can be made there. Zach Stevens of DNVR Broncos joining us. All right. So our poll question today, I wanted to stay with Vic Fangio. We knew he was on the hot seat coming in. Now, these are games he's supposed to win, the last two, and of course this one against the Jets. If the Broncos start 3-0, is Vic Fangio off the hot seat? That doesn't mean he can't be placed right back on there with a 3 or 4 game losing streak, but does that give him some leeway? Does that give him some room?
Yeah, absolutely, without a doubt, because you just look at it. I mean, he's got a 3-game lead on being 500, and I think if he finishes 500, right around 500, especially if he's at 9-8 this year, it's going to be really hard for the Broncos to go in a different direction from him, because, look, that would be a 4-game that would be 4 games better than they were last year. Now, if they go 8-9 and it finishes on a 6-game losing streak, and then, yeah, absolutely, he's going to be right back on the hot seat. But look, Brady, the Broncos haven't been able to do what they're supposed to do the past 5 years. There's so many games where the Broncos were supposed to beat the other team, and they just weren't able to. So this is a great place for the Broncos to be. They're beating the teams they should beat. And if they win, beat the Jets, which they absolutely should, then they can lose the next 2 games. Now, I think that there's a legitimate chance that they split those games. And then you're talking about 4-1. Then you're talking about he is absolutely off the hot seat. And that's exactly where the Broncos want to be. But look, Vic has also shown that he's grown as a head coach. Look, he got his team off to a hot start this season, something he didn't do the past 2 years. His defense is looking elite, something that we have not seen the past 2 years. And then another thing, game management. Vic Fangio has been Mr. Aggressive, and that aggression has been working so far. He hasn't had any game management issues. Now, has he really been given an opportunity to have a bad game management issue? Not really, outside of maybe the Broncos not converting a fourth down that he went for. But for the most part, not only has the team been winning, but Vic has shown so far, it can change, that he as a head coach has gotten better.
Yeah, well, I agree with all of those points. I do think it cools off the seat, so to speak. You know, a 4 or 5 game losing streak, and then he's right back there. Maybe he's gone. But these games were so important. They handled their business extremely well the last 2 weeks. I mean, for the most part, these games were never really in doubt. I know it was a weird first half, Broncos-Jags, but I never got the sense that the Broncos weren't going to end up winning this game. Teddy Bridgewater was slow in the first half. Then he came out, and he just continues to light it up. I mean, 26-34, 328 yards, 2 touchdowns, and so far so good for Teddy. I know a lot of big tests await him, but huge numbers for him in the first 2 weeks.
Yeah, huge numbers. I mean, Brady, he's on a pace to have more than double the number of touchdowns than he's ever had in a season right now. Mm. Just shows you how good he's been, even for himself, and not just for himself. I mean, you look around the NFL, he has the second best QBR in the entire NFL. He has a 120 passer rating, which is just absurd. He's completing nearly 80% of his passes. And, by the way, he has more success on passes 20 yards down the field than anyone in the NFL. So it's not check down Teddy. It's just very good quarterback play, Teddy Bridgewater. That's what we're talking about. And not only the numbers, but Brady, he just seems to be perfect for what this team needs in the moment. How big was that coming out of halftime? You mentioned it, the 75-yard four-play touchdown drive out of halftime. That's when the game really felt like, okay, the Broncos are going to do what they need to do against the Jacksonville Jaguars and dominate them. And that drive really set the tone for that. Of course, the 55-yarder to Cortland Sutton. Teddy's looking deep. And then also, he has the 100% trust in his coach, Vic Fangio. This team is going for it on fourth down more than they ever have in like the last half decade, just in these first 2 games, because Vic trusts him and Teddy is living up to that. What Teddy Bridgewater has done so far has truly been incredible. And people will say, well, yeah, it's against two bad teams. The Jets, terrible defense. The Giants, I think a pretty average defense. I think that's what they'll grade out at the end of the year. So you can't discount that, what he did against the Giants. And when you look at the future, sure, he may come back down to earth a little bit, but he's starting at a great place in order to come back down from earth. Right now, he's playing at an MVP level. Let's say he comes back down to top 10 quarterback play. That'll do for the Broncos.
Zach, when do the Broncos pay Cortland Sutton? Because we talked about him, you know, free agency looming, but they're stacked at wide receiver. I mean, 9 receptions, 159 yards. I know Teddy was fantastic, but man, he had a nice one to throw to. Sutton just got better as that game went on.
Yeah, you're right. Now the Broncos are in a really tough place, because it was trending that Jerry Jeudy was going to have the breakout year. I believed, and I still believe, that Jerry Jeudy by the end of this season is going to be the Broncos' number one receiver. But if Cortland Sutton continues anywhere close to what he's been doing, now he had a poor performance in the first week, fantastic start or game against the Jags, like you said, a career high day in both receptions and receiving yards. If he continues to do that, are you really just going to let him walk? Maybe that's when you talk about trading him. But if Jeudy comes back and looks still a little hobbled with a high ankle sprain, which could very well be the case, you're really going to let your number one receiver walk? That is such a weird fine line that the Broncos are going to have to walk. I think they wait for a while just to see more consistency, see what Jerry Jeudy looks like. But if he looks like this guy that he looked like on Saturday or on Sunday, you're talking about paying him come December.
Man, and even those long balls, I mean, you could make a case there might have been some defensive pass interference there. But he could have had more and a couple of touchdowns. All right, last one for you, Zach. I know there's a lot still to hit, but the injury side, bummer about Josie Jewell. You just hate to see it. What do you know about Bradley Chubb at this point? Can we even put a date on when we expect? Can we put an estimate?
No, I don't think we can. Brady, I think that the Broncos should put him on IR, which means he'd be out for 3 weeks. I'm not sure they're going to take that approach. I wouldn't be surprised if they take more of a wait-and-see approach. I would be shocked if he plays this week. He should not play this week. And honestly, the goal for Bradley Chubb, in my mind, was just let him be good for that Baltimore Ravens game. And boy, are you going to need him in order to contain Lamar Jackson. I think that's now very much in doubt. Big Ben is a guy you want to have him play against the week after. That's now very much in doubt. I think we're looking about a month timeline. And Brady, I hope the Broncos learn Bradley Chubb can be medically cleared to play like he was. Bradley Chubb can want to play, and boy, does he have every incentive to play kind of on a contract year. But there needs to be a time where you have to look at the bigger picture and say, look, we need Bradley Chubb down the stretch at, 95%. We don't need to risk him at 70% where he can take a step back to 40% because the Broncos just lived that. So I really hope they learn from what now certainly is a mistake that they forced him out there against the Jags. And Brady, well, they didn't need him for the Jags. So revisionist history is really nice to look at in this, but also you got to just realize where you're at right now. You're week two. You need Chubb coming down the stretch, especially looks like a playoff team right now.
It was a weird thing because a few days before that, maybe a week before they announced him healthy enough to play, it was, hey, I don't know when he's going to play. And then it suddenly changed throughout the week. So I thought that was clunky. I thought that was strange. And of course, I couldn't have predicted this, and you hate to see it. But now we'll just wait by and see what happens with Chubb. Zach, always appreciate your insight, my friend, taking us on that John Elway, Peyton Manning, wonderful ride. Can't wait to see what's next between those two. Always love these chats. That's my friend.
Oh, me too, Brady. Thanks so much for having me on.
All right. Zach Stevens, DNVR Broncos, 12:51 the time. It's Top Text Tuesday. Bring me good stuff. That's all I ask. Because we can talk this show, and it's easy, and we can breeze right through it, and it's amazing. It's the greatest show that's ever hit the air. But we can also let the hooligans be a part of it. And so that's up to you. Crap texts, that's your fault. Bring the good stuff, and you read it, and you might win things as well. All right, Top Text Tuesday continues, presented by Front Range Painters of South Platte. And we've got some great, great prizes, as always. So we'll talk about that coming up next. And we'll wrap up our number one. Colorado State has their hoops schedule out. Pretty exciting non-conference schedule. We'll talk about it next.
Northern Colorado's voice and your home for the Denver Broncos is 103.1 and 1310 KFKA. For the latest on the Broncos, the Nuggets, and the Rockies, listen to the Hull Show weekdays at noon on Northern Colorado's voice. 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
This is Katie Wingy, your host, reporter, and analyst for the Denver Nuggets, and you're listening to the whole show on 1310 KFKA.
Fresh Coat Painters South Platte, my friend. All right, Fresh Coat Painters. I've got it right in front of me, and I love these guys, man. They've been hooking us up with prizes left and right. So Fresh Coat Painters South Platte. Love them. 970-414-4131. They provide all of our gifts, all of our prizes for Top Text Tuesday. So load up those texts. Got a lot to talk about coming up. Broncos, Jags, we'll put that game to bed. And we're moving on to the Jets, and I tweeted it. Jets fans, Give me something you feel good about this game coming up for you. None of you guys are giving me any positives. We'll be right back.